Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Welcome to a Thursday edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, rocking the ESPN polo. Been laying out today? How you been? Getting a little tan.
Oh, yeah. School's out. It means I get a little extra time to get a little sun.
Sun's out. Guns out.
There you go, baby.
Yeah, I need to work on my physique. Busy show. Excited today. We'll talk some NBA finals. Wake up. Yes, they're here. We'll get to some NBA finals. A lot of fun college football topics to dive into. And we are loaded up with some talented insight. As always, Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury. NBC Sports going to be with us in 15 minutes. We'll catch up with Billy D. He has been a longtime man involved with the NBA. Also knows his Nebraska football, so a great combo there. Hour two to start things, Gary Barnett. Barney, can't wait to talk to Coach. We'll get his thoughts on a couple of teams Nebraska has on the schedule that Coach Barnett knows well. That is Oregon. That is Northwestern. And we'll talk to him about some of the topics that are out there. Good articles, man. I know this year can be list heavy or over under heavy, and we've been guilty of that, but man, just some good stuff from ESPN on hybrid defenders. And the College Football Hall of Fame is out for the 2018 class, so three Huskers up for that. So we'll catch up with Coach Barnett. Brandon Vogel also with this next hour. We ask you to join us if you want. Tap the line with Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll free across the Hail Varsity Radio Network, 1-800-825-5865. On Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore Henning. That's where you get in touch with us. You can also email us, Costanza style. Just drag that keyboard under the desk. Chris at HailVarsity.com. Okay, so of all the things to dive into and get rocking with, I'm enthralled here, and Stuart Mandel, man, when I first started doing this, Stuart was still at Sports Illustrated, first of all, and Stuart was not as big as Stuart is now from a platform. I mean, he was great at Sports Illustrated, but Feldman are the two dudes at Fox, and they do a great job with college football coverage.
And Sports Illustrated is nothing to knock.
No. So. I'm not knocking that.
But
I'm just saying,
as a web presence, it's not as big, but
with what Stuart does, and it's the mailbag, and of course, Hail Varsity does its own form and fashion of mailbag. Love it. But this came in, and there's been some questions about this, and let's dive into it. This from Joe in Wisconsin. Hello, Joe.
Cheese curds.
Right. Well, and he's a Nebraska guy in Wisconsin, so we should actually try and figure out where he lives and break him out.
Yeah.
In a way, it's like the good old days because there's Nebraska flavor and influence, but you got to watch and you're reminded of likely how things have gone against the Badgers. Okay, question here, and let's talk about this when it comes to Nebraska. Last week, you had the hierarchy released on Thursday. Nebraska no longer a king of college football. And listen, here's what Mike Riley has done, and this is the question here. Can Nebraska get back to being one of the best? And to do that, Mike Riley is going to be the guy to do that. Can he be that guy is pretty much the crux of the question here. And you have talent, you have the athletic budget, you have a lot of good assistant coaches that if you talk to former coaches will commend these guys on staff that are great at not only relating and communicating, but teaching kids. So you have all that working for you, and Nebraska's spending money to go get good, really good assistants, not only on the recruiting trail, but also on the practice field. So you have that dynamic working. You have a guy that's pretty smart with Mike Riley that knows college football and it's trying to stay steps ahead. You've seen Nebraska be out there in a good way with social media, with camps, with recruitment, with evaluation, with offers,
with state tours.
With state tours, with courting kids. I mean, you're talking a year of investment in starting sophomore year with some of these kids that Nebraska's getting to commit as juniors. So you've seen all the elbow grease go into it off the field. Now it comes into on the field. Stewart's response about Mike Riley. Mike's good coach. The recruiting's been ramped up. They're doing great there. But it's unlikely that Riley is going to be the guy, per Stuart Mandel, to get Nebraska back to that level of championship four. First and foremost, do you agree with that, or do you disagree with that? And if you say, talk to me in three more years, all good. I get it. It's still early. But the way things are moving with the talent acquisition that's going on, you could see Nebraska getting there. Nebraska's also not far removed from playing in conference championship games. Just going to kind of take care of your business in the West, and the rest of the world's chasing Ohio State and Alabama, frankly. So you're just kind of like with everyone else right there. Just takes one. The reason Nebraska was so awesome and dominant, and we listed these, but Stewart's point was the dominance was tied to the offensive style. It was option football, and that's why Nebraska was so tremendous. You had great players. You had a unique offense. There you go. And here's my question to that. And think about this. Is there a unique offense out there anymore? Okay? How many teams ran the spread when Chip Kelly came in? Him. How many teams ran the spread and tempo with Gus Malzahn? Him. Okay? Now everybody has a form of it. How many teams ran the air raid with Leach? I mean, it was Leach. It was Leach, and it was them at Kentucky, and then when he got hired by OU, and then you have disciples of the air raid, okay?
Well, what's unique now is the option offense, because hardly anybody runs it. Paul Johnson at Georgia Tech.
Paul Johnson and the military schools.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And I don't know if I would think you could still win that way, but you're just not – you don't have a lot of high school kids running the option, DeVere, anymore. They mm-hmm. run the spread. There is quarterback run all over the world, but it's out of a shotgun and it's tempo based. So, yes. Is there a unique offense? Yes, it's still option football. But I don't know if you can go back to it and be as great with it in 2017.
Yeah, you got to be able to throw the ball.
Yeah, just because, I mean, think about when Nebraska was running the option. I mean, Oklahoma was running the option. Clemson was running the option. Notre Dame was running the option. They had it in the playbook. Nebraska, who else? A&M. I mean, you had all these schools that ran the option. Some form of it. Colorado ran the option. So it was kind of like pre-spread. You had a bunch of dual threat option quarterbacks out there to go grab. Now you have a bunch of dual threat zone read quarterbacks out there because that's, you have A and B to me. C, three, excuse me, A, B, and C. Air raid, zone read, pro style. Those are your three doors.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, what's more of the unique offense now is the pro style. Because you got a ton of high schools running the zone read. You have some schools just chucking it all around, running the air raid. So if you're running and using a fullback, for the love of God, you're pretty unique. So I think I disagree with the fact that, listen, the offense isn't unique enough anymore to win big with it. I think you're going back to a familiar offense, but an offense that fewer people are running.
For sure.
The other side of this, too, is teams that have won championships the last several years have won it because of one position. I know it's a it's an 11-man side of the ball. I know it takes everybody. But you're one difference maker with all of your championship teams the last several years has been your quarterback. Okay? It's been Watson at Clemson. It was Cam at Auburn. It was Mariota to keep that Oregon train running. It was more the system at Oregon, but they had a very capable quarterback. And at Alabama, it was the other 10 and not the quarterback, but they've shifted philosophy to make it quarterback run now.
Hmm.
So what I get into this is you have a guy and an offensive coordinator that their specialty is finding and grooming and putting out the best, move the chains, hit a big play, be smart with the football guy. That's their rep. That is your game changer right now at Nebraska, is the fact you can run an offense that not everyone's running anymore. Sounds crazy to say. But to go get the quarterback, Teej, and have a guy to make that quarterback great and be like everyone else who's won a championship. Win it because your quarterback made the plays to get you there.
Yeah, the option offense, that's not going to get it done nowadays. But I think Stuart Mandel raises the right question is, what is the Huskers' identity? And he doesn't know. And no, I think people have been asking that for a while, ever since we got rid of Fink.
What are
we going to do? Are we going to do the West Coast? Are we going to do the zone read? Are we going to do the pro style?
You don't have to label
what are we gonna
it,
settle on?
You don't have to label it as to win big. I don't think you even have to label it. I mean, you got to be physical, okay? That's not a system. That's a mentality, and that's a trait. Got to be physical. But the other thing that you can become is kind of be a place where quarterbacks go to win. They win big, and then, by the way, they go to the NFL. I mean, to me, that's what you go and where you take this identity question. Is be a place you go to go play quarterback and win. Kind of like USC.
For sure. But would you say we're that physical team after watching last season?
Yes and no. Not you're not physical all the time.
No, that's for sure.
I will tell them and say that they were absolutely physical against Indiana and that they were physical against Ohio State. They got slapped around repeatedly until they got angry against Illinois. I know those aren't awesome teams. They weren't physical enough against Iowa. They weren't physical enough against Tennessee. They weren't physical enough against Ohio State. But to just blanket statement and say, no, they're not physical, that isn't doing them credit because they had their moments.
Yeah.
They just got to have their moments all the time. I think the identity can become kind of a quarterback launching pad for Nebraska. If that happens, then you get back to winning championships or competing for championships, because that's your difference maker, period.
Yeah, I just feel like the two questions he raised, the identity, what has been your identity? We really don't know for the last 10 years, and then what are you doing recruiting-wise? You know, he has, since Nebraska is 22nd per 24/7 sports, and that's just not getting it done.
That was last year.
That was last year, excuse me.
Yep.
Obviously, it's stepped up since Riley has got here before that, but you got to get the Jimmys and Joes. You got to find out who you are.
No,
in that team.
No, your identity can become a place where that gets great quarterbacks that put you in position to win huge games. More so than a system, but more of a part of the system. Mm. I think that's where Nebraska can go. And they're also hot and heavy after those explosive athletes, guys that can be hybrid type. So that's... I'm not saying that Stewart's off with the doubt. I'm just telling you how when you look at Nebraska, he can be proven wrong. Those are the ways you do it.
Yeah, for sure. And saying that Mike Riley can't get it done, I just don't totally agree with, because I think his pathway to do it isn't that steep. And we've been talking about for a while since we joined the Big Ten that the Big Ten West isn't all that difficult. All you have to do is win that side. And if you win the Big Ten championship, which easier said than done, then you're most likely in the college football playoff.
And listen, this is Penn State's been phenomenal at home since Franklin got there. Last two of his 3 years. But if Penn State can, and I know they're in a recruiting area, and I know Franklin's a monster recruiter, yay, fine. But they were in the freaking electric chair not long ago.
Yeah.
And they're back in a Rose Bowl. So you can absolutely get it done at Nebraska. And I think Nebraska's got a guy who's seen enough football, coached enough football, and sure as hell groomed enough quarterbacks to take that step. That's how you win in college football now, is you find that game changer, throwing the football, making decisions, and it goes to the physicality, too, being able to run it so it's not one-dimensional.
Yeah, those lines of scrimmage, winning those.
But honestly, from an identity standpoint, that's your identity can become a place where that gets great quarterbacks and sends them to the NFL, and that talent can overcome a ton. That's where I'm at with that, with Stuart Mandel, and whether or not you think O'Reilly's the guy to get it done. He does not, and it's more so about offensive style. The option was unique. Well, the pro style is more unique than it used to be, and you really have three choices here offensively that you see around college football: air raid, pro style, or spread, a form of the zone read. So you get a quarterback that can take you to the promised land, and it doesn't matter what you're running, it wins it for you. Watson, Cam, Mariota, and for sure, Jameis. Jameis. It's shifted. It's changed.
Yep. You got to get those guys.
Go help out that offense, too, and get some hybrid defenders. We'll hit on that in a little bit. Bill Dolman coming up. Great to be with you on a Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Gary Barnett coming up in 35 minutes. Plenty of NBA thoughts as we bring in NBC Sports' Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury, with us at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D, how are you?
Oh, you know, I'm doing pretty well. I'm excited that once again Nebraska is front and center in the sports world with, of course, Tyronn Lue winning an NBA championship last year. It took a Husker to finally get Cleveland over the hump. The Gensel kid from Omaha. I mean, who knew that, you know, Nebraska would be the epicenter of hockey? I think that's important. So, with everything that's going on, it's just more clear and clear every day how important Nebraska is to the sports world and, you know, really kind of the capital.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Coach Erstad and Nebraska baseball for just a second before we get into NBA talk. And you just got done doing Big 12 baseball, so you saw what they had to offer. Okie State, you know, getting in there, and the Big 12 well represented, 7-9 teams in the tournament. Thoughts on Nebraska as they head to the top seed Oregon State Beavers, and what this opportunity means for Nebraska? What are your expectations?
Well, based on the Big Ten Conference tournament showing, I don't think the expectations are very much. Now, that having been said, one of the greatest competitors in Major League Baseball, and there we go again, is the Nebraska guy, Darren Erstad. I would think that after, let's face it, the Big 12 tournament was pretty embarrassing, especially after winning the conference championship. But a lot went into winning that conference regular season title. That I would think that there's probably some motivation. There's probably been a lot of soul searching as to just how that could possibly happen. And I would think that they're going to present themselves much better in the regional than they did in the Big Ten tournament. That being said, I'm not quite sure that Nebraska's going to get out of there. Oregon State's lost, what, four times all year?
Yes.
And you're going there. They probably want some revenge for the Mike Riley trade, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think it's going to be very difficult. You know, you just got to play better than you did in the Big Ten tournament because that was not good. But I think there is that hangover from winning the regular season title. I just hope people don't go, well, that was awful. Because going through the grind of winning the regular season championship, to me, speaks greater volumes than having won the tournament. And I think most people would agree with that. There was kind of those topics at the Big 12 tournament with some of the guys that I worked with. You know, I worked with Mickey Tettleton and George Frazier. And then there are other people that you visit with. Yeah, it's great that Oklahoma State, you know, got on a roll, got in there. But does 3 days worth of work or 4 days worth of work make up for, you know, the body over 2 months? Probably not. So to that end, I hope people don't discount and diminish what was accomplished in winning the regular season title, no matter what happens over the next weekend.
Bill, got to ask you here, college football question. TJ and I were chatting here. Stuart Mandel's mailbag had a question from a Nebraska fan if, you know, Mike Riley can get it done, and he doesn't think so because it's not a Riley thing. It's a identity thing. Specifically, when Nebraska was awesome, they were running the option and smoking people, and it was a physicality thing. But they also had some, you know, game-changing type quarterbacks. I wanted to ask you this. If Bill Dolman's starting up a university, style of offense you would go with, or does it matter? Is it more about quarterback?
Well, I mean, having witnessed, you know, what Tom did for 30 years, you know, pretty up close.
No, I know you
the
did.
The last 10 or so. And seeing what teams do with that option offense, given the weather, given all that we have, if I'm going to create a school, and Lord knows that would be a great idea, I'm going to put it in heaven's suburb, and that's Nebraska, and I'm going to, you know, take advantage of the climate, and I'm going to do just what he did.
You think option football could win it again? Okay.
Well, yeah, we had this conversation a couple of months back. Would Nebraska the '90s? Beat the Alabama of today, and what? Yes, and after thinking about it, I think it would be the option. Okay. If Nebraska was doing what everybody else did, and remember back in the day, everybody wanted Nebraska to throw the football more, even though we were 60-3, there were still people saying they can't win that way. You know, I remember going through that era, and you know, there were some not great seasons in '91, '92, if you will, relatively speaking. But if you were going to, you know, play football in that part of the country and have an offense that mimicked the culture of hard blue-collar work, just go beat people up on Saturday and shake their hands and it's all over with, I would do exactly what Tom did. And that's why I think that if the Nebraska teams of the '90s lined up and played Alabama of today, they would dominate them because Alabama would never see the option. When does Alabama see the option? They see the same offense week after week after week after week after week. There's really no difference. Personnel is different, obviously, when you got a Deshaun Watson or something. But I would take a Nebraska football team running the option with Keith McCant, Jerry Godowski, both Big 8 players of the year, and certainly with a Tommy Frazier or even, you know, Brooke Behringer, and run that offense against Alabama today, and I'm going to win.
All right, Bill, the NBA Finals, finally here, after all this time. Now, do you think Kevin Durant is still going to be a hindrance to them, or after what you saw in the first three rounds, that he's good to go and that they could possibly steamroll these Cavaliers?
I think I'm 180 degrees in opposite of what I said. I'm shocked at what they've been able to do with Durant. I think he's done a great job of assimilating himself in. I think he's deferred to what they've done. And I think he's done exactly what he wanted to do when he left Oklahoma City, and that was put himself in a position to win a title. And then beyond that, you know, I tip my cap to that. You know, they checked his ego at the door, but I still have a problem with him. I couldn't win a title there, so I'm going to leave and win one someplace else. And then, who knows, maybe he'll be back in Oklahoma City, you know, someday, because well, I got my ring, and now I can go back. And LeBron did that, essentially, going to Miami. But I don't know if they're going to, you know, dominate and destroy Cleveland like some people are saying. They got Tyronn Lue. They got a Husker on the bench, right? So I don't think you can discount that. But Golden State's played extremely well, and he's fit in right with what they want to do, and he's going to probably get the ring that he wanted when he left OKC.
Cavs are playing exceptional basketball, too, and they are not easy to match up with. And I'm thinking of Irving specifically because of what he can do to get his own shot. And then you got the best player out there right there, too. So are you leaning any which way, Cleveland or Golden State?
No, I would say Golden State, but I still say, A, Toronto's a Husker. B, I think that there's an edge to, I think Cleveland has just been continuing to get kicked into a corner.
Yeah.
And I think that eventually it's like, well, wait a minute here. You know, we are the defending champions. We did come back and beat them. There's got to be something in the minds of Golden State that they didn't, you know, that they choked when they were up 3-1 last year. Steve Kerr's not on the bench, from what I understand. Maybe he's going to be a late game, addition. But I just think Cleveland has been kicked into that corner so much that I don't think you can do that with LeBron. But again, I think Kyrie Irving's the best player on that team right now. I think LeBron's worn down. So if Irving can stay healthy, and a year ago I was always kind of stunned by they put so much into Channing Frye that he was going to be the difference maker, and he really wasn't. Maybe this year that happens. I don't know. But I think Cleveland's been pushed around way too much to be just completely discounted that it's going to be that easy for Golden State.
Yeah, and it's interesting with Mike Brown having been fired twice from the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, he's going to have that revenge factor for him there. If you take away LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love and the Big Four from Golden State, who would be your X factor from either team to help swivel it one way or the other?
Well, Frye. That's a good question. For Golden State, I don't know.
Iggy?
For Golden State, it'd be Sean Livingston for me.
You know, he had a great year last year in the playoffs. But I think if you start taking guys away, and I think it's too hypothetical.
I just meant you not to choose one of the
JaVale
main guys.
JaVale McGee, you know, he speaking of getting kicked around, is kind of a cartoon character. And, you know, he gets a bad rap, I think. Maybe some of it's deserved. But the whole Shaquille O'Neal thing during the course of the regular season – and the whole texting thing, you know, the tweeting back and forth. JaVale McGee, for whatever reason, has just become, I think it has been disrespected too much. And when he was in Denver, I thought he was really good. And I think he is really good. So I think that might be, he might be the guy that's most motivated to win a championship and might be the X factor for Golden State.
Bill Dolman with us, NBC Sports, Hail Varsity Radio. Billy D, what's going on with you? About 90 seconds. What's the weekend look like?
Well, the weekend is spent preparing for the track and field meet in Rome next week.
Ooh.
And I think most people probably have got their pools put together. And I'm not going to give any advice because I just don't think that's appropriate in terms of how you pick your fantasy teams for track and field to Diamond League.
Can you wear your toga?
Well, you know, maybe that might be part of the apparatus. I don't know. I know if I need to get a good Spartacus outfit, I know where to go. But I will be getting ready for track and field next week in Rome.
I'm a toga guy, not a leather guy, Bill. We got to dispel that rumor. All right. Track and field with Bill Dolman, NBC Sports, NBA Inside with Bill Dolman, and Option Football, Husker Football with Bill Dolman.
And, you know, we were talking last week, just real quick, and I got to thinking about this just as I was hanging up, and Nebraska's prominence in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I know they had a nice day, a nice crowd for the finals of the Big 12 tournament with Texas and Oklahoma State, which was great. But I will guarantee you that if the Big 12 could have Nebraska back to fill seats and bring attention – I thought of that just as I was hanging up last week because that dude in Kentucky said Nebraska doesn't matter anymore. I will guarantee you they would have loved to have had Nebraska in the field and its fans in the stands.
Amen.
No doubt about it.
Billy D, we'll catch up with you soon. Thanks for a few minutes. Talk to you in Rome.
All right. Hit him well, Spalding.
See you, man. There he is. Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury. Thanks to him. We'll hit some NBA thoughts on the way.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMoore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some? some fun!
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
You know, it's not Kevin came here, you have to win the championship. That's the goal, you know, but I mean, when you're trying to reach greatness, pressure comes with that.
Thank you, Draymond. Don't kick anybody this year. Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. More college football in 15 to 20 minutes. Gary Barnett will be with us. Barney time in Brandon Vogel in hour two. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, and the good stuff from Bill Dolman, the pride of Fairbury. Okay, I got 1,000 things running through my mind with the NBA Finals. And you got a difference this year from last just because of how much momentum there was a year ago with the Golden State OK City finish. I mean, it was an incredible Western Conference Finals, and then you have kind of the darlings swoop in, and then Cleveland comes back. You had an incredible NBA Finals and an incredible Western Conference Finals. I mean, if you hate NBA basketball, you still probably caught a little bit of it. You had that type of situation a year ago. Right now, you've been waiting and waiting. It's kind of like Thanksgiving, where you finally wake up from your nap after feeding your face. You've just been in a food coma, except you've been in a, God, I'm done with NBA and wake me up when it gets good again. You've had awful postseason. Very few competitive games. The ones that have been good, but you're just not as geeked or amped for it, and the momentum's clearly a 180 from a year ago. I think this series is good enough, it's juicy enough to have a situation where you can kind of create your own momentum as a casual basketball fan, for sure if you're a diehard basketball fan, to get into this because it is a trilogy. You just hope it's a good trilogy. Mm-hmm. Return of the Jedi or Godfather 3? Or Home Alone 3 versus Home Alone 1? I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, looking back at the box scores last night, the first three games of last finals, those were blowouts. So those weren't good games. But the way it finished last year, it was
epic. The way
this
thing closed like a freight train when you're down 3-1 and you end up winning the series 4-3. Two big questions on my mind.
Okay.
One is Durant's mentality. Is he going to freeze or is he going to flourish?
Mm-hmm.
Two, God and forgive me, it's the legacy question with LeBron, because this guy, his legacy's set. He's the best I've seen since MJ.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's
this generation's best.
Sure, and that's obvious.
Yep.
But I'm still impressed, wowed, and I enjoy watching.
Oh yeah.
So I'm all there. It's just a matter of, you know, which way are you going to go with this when it comes to your finals record? And
let's say he loses this. Larry, he plays
Larry
amazing.
Larry Bird lost finals. Magic Johnson lost finals. Jordan and Bill Russell are the two perfect dudes. Okay, there's probably some more, but that's my point of that level. If he loses this, I got to know how he loses it.
Yeah, but if he averages like a triple-double and they still lose in like 6 or 7, like he's not favored again in this finals. He hasn't been favored in many of them.
And their dogs by 7 tonight. Listen, is he hitting big shot after big shot? Is he taking big shot? I mean, it gets down to just more than what's his stat line, because his stat line's going to be awesome. It gets more finite with him because there's talking heads creating controversy, Skip, about legacy and...
Well, Skip's a...
No, I get it. No, I know he's a troll. I totally get that. But it is important when the moment is there. Does he deliver? Or does he make the pass to Kyrie to deliver? I'm not saying he has to... He doesn't have to go Jordan in Utah for an exclamation point. It's cool, and it's more legendary if he does, but he doesn't have to, because he's got the best shot creator in basketball right now as his wingman. And that is what I'm most intrigued about, is the Kevin Durant story and the LeBron story. And LeBron's confident and comfortable within himself enough to let it come to him. Durant is a hired gun that is great when it's front-running time. when push comes to shove and it's crunch time, and say Clay's off, or say Steph isn't doing it, and say Draymond's just dog-ass tired because he's been defending LeBron, is Durant going to do what he needs to do? Will the moment match his game finally on this stage?
Yeah, the Durant question is interesting because a while ago it was assumed, and I still think he might be, that he was obviously the second best player in the world behind LeBron. Like I think that was pretty obvious, but now let's separate.
He's second best talent.
So you don't think he's the second best player in the world? Who would you have second? Because I asked on my Twitter poll the other day, who would you rather have, Kawhi Leonard or Kevin Durant?
Give me Kawhi.
And I was surprised how many people chose Kawhi over him.
Give me Kawhi 8 days.
But Durant is really good at defense too. He just doesn't show it as much as Kawhi, but when he's in there playing the five or the four.
I don't think he's even an ounce as mentally tough as Kawhi, period.
Ooh. I don't know, man. I mean, obviously he's not as clutch as Kawhi,
no,
but he's still.
Clutch. I'm talking, and I know I was the same guy a week and a half ago, wondering if Kawhi could shoot up and go play with that ankle.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about personality-wise. I mean, we're talking apples and oranges of getting to where they got. And I think it's been a more sandpaper type texture for Kawhi to continue to have to find through me. Greatness shows up. And he was found out by the Spurs, and he's it. He's incredible.
Yeah, but I mean, Durant's a 7-foot freak. He's an
alien.
I'm
not saying
like,
he's a match. I'm not saying he's a matchup choice you want to go against. I will say this though, I've not seen him. There's been one finals where him and Russ were wet behind the ears, along with
Harden.
Well, it was fun. They still lost 4-2. They went toe to toe with Golden State last year and couldn't close the deal, primarily because it came down to a peeing contest between him and Russ with who was going to lead SportsCenter and lead Twitter.
Yeah, well, and also Klay Thompson went off.
That's fine. He went off, but the knockout game, how did that thing start? 1-for-8 for Durant.
Mm-hmm.
He came out and shot them out of a win. And I don't know if he's learned his lesson, if he knows his role, what he'll be asked to. He's been asked to put the Superman cape on casually with this Golden State team, because usually you're not going to have an off game between Klay and Steph. One can be off, the other will be okay, then you're the number two guy, or you're the one with two help.
I was just thinking that Durant game 7 is very similar to how LeBron in 2010 game 6 in Boston, you're like, what is this guy doing? He's having an awful performance, and then he goes to another team and makes it happen, and now here we have Durant, that awful performance game 7, now he's with this other team. How does he make it happen tonight? How's his legacy going to play out?
I think there's so much white noise with his legacy because of jumping to a team that won 72 games.
73, yep.
Okay. I think there's so much association with him being soft because of that decision. And we heard Draymond as we came in, the expectations and pressure. How's he going to deal with it?
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Bird will be back in next week. Gary Barnett, 10 minutes away. We'll talk about option football, if it can still win in college football, if you'll see it again. His take on Oregon and what they're going to be all about come early September. DJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, and you. Go see Rick today, tomorrow, this weekend, and get a hold of some of those pure-grown diamonds. Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman. Be inspired by what's going on the baseball diamond. They're eco-friendly. They're very sustainable. They're beautiful. And they are 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. They are some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. See why. And that also says a lot when you think of Sauter Heyman's history. What's selling great there? How about pure-grown diamonds? Nebraska's exclusive dealer with Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion or out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. More thoughts on the NBA Finals. Back to some college football. Teej and I will have some predictions for the final game one tonight coming up. And Teej, another thought you had, because you're just, you live and die NBA, you love it, and I get into it too. And the Kawhi and KD question's very fair. The pulse I get from kind of the one I go to for NBA is my little dude, Carson. Because he, a year ago, he's Western Conference Finals. He's all over it. He's such a huge KD fan. I'm asking him today after baseball. I'm like, so, Monkey, you excited? He's like, eh. He doesn't care. He is so turned off, not just that Kevin left, but where he went, because he hates Golden State. And he thinks that they're just weak and soft and a bunch of chumps, not named Draymond. He just can't stand him. But every kid wants to play like him.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think there's a lot. I'm confused in my own household.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I've got so much. We could you know, pay rent in one of KD's West Wings with as much KD crap as we got still, okay? And he's not engaged in his favorite player playing for his first ring tonight.
Now, your son's in elementary, right?
Yeah, but
I was surrounded by elementary kids, and I see him at recess every day. Curry, they're shooting.
Yeah.
Or like KD, like Curry and Durant are like their favorite.
Yes.
They so love I guess I'm a little surprised that Junior's feeling that way, but
I think he's just still PO'd that his hero took the easy way out, not Dad. But
I don't know. Easier way might have been to stay, because all the pressure now to win it all.
Bro, you're going to a place with a lot of house money that's already won it before. That's what this is, though. Is who cracks, or maybe they both don't. Maybe it's other X factors in this thing. But what do you get from LeBron? What do you get from KD? That's it tonight. I'm anxious. I can't wait. I get to see it in HD. It's phenomenal.
There you go.
Caller for a family four-pack.
Yep, VIP.
VIP.
To Tuesday's game.
Four-pack, VIP, Salt Dog tickets for Tuesday. Caller 4-466-3776. 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Family four-pack of VIP tickets to the Salt Dogs for Tuesday. Four-pack yours right now. VIP to Haymarket for the Dogs. Caller 4-466-3776. 800-825-5865.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Jay Moore back next week. We welcome in longtime coach in Colorado and Northwestern, Sports USA Radio, Colorado Radio, avid golfer, Gary Barnett back with us. Coach, how are you?
Chris, I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We're doing all right. I actually got out on the golf course earlier Monday. You believe
that?
Did you
send everybody a warning, or did you just show up and surprise them?
Oh, I showed up and surprised them, but there was a gallery, i.e. the geese and birds watching, but once I got to the box, they got the hell out of there, so it worked out well. So.
It's a tough game, man, I'll tell you. It's tough.
Well, it is, but football's also kind of tough. You know a lot about that. And I wanted there's a lot of things floating around. It is June, end in May, obviously, and it's kind of list and countdown. And, you know, it's the off season before the season ramps up. And we were talking in hour one, and it came from a mailbag question about Coach Riley, if he can get it done or not. And it was a Stuart Mandel mailbag. And there was nothing against Coach Riley, but Nebraska's success tied to their identity, and that was a unique offense in option football. It was tremendous. You guys did it well also at Colorado and won a title with it. But I wanted to ask you, Coach, in today's era, seeing the football you have and knowing what you know, can option football win at a championship level in 2017 now?
Well, I think it depends on how much and how you define option. If you're talking about option from the shotgun and spreading people out and running it that way, yes, you can.
Sure.
If I mean, you just watch Clemson do it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're basically to some extent an option football team. When you run spread, a lot of teams run option. So, yes, can you do it from the old way, the way that probably the question was referring to? Probably mm-hmm. not. And here's why. When you run spread, the spread, you do the shotgun with all the receivers, and you do the passing game with it, then you also create a defense that can defend that kind of wide-open play, whether it's passing game or a combination of passing game and option. But when you run an option offense that's more conventional and what Nebraska fans remember and Colorado fans remember, it doesn't prepare your defense to play against the spread kind of offenses that you see out there now that are extremely dominant and extremely talented now. So it used to be people went to the spread because they had less talent than everybody else. Now the most talented teams in the country are in some sort of spread offense to some extent. So I think that's the big question is you can win it with option, but you can't win it with the defense that I think the conventional under-the-center quarterback kind of option creates. And that's just a defense that isn't as versatile and probably in many ways athletic enough because you've got to play a lot of guys, different kind of guys and type players in the secondary now and to play against all these spread offenses. And so it's just hard when you spend 20 days or 15 days in the spring going against yourselves. Mm-hmm. You don't get to work against – your defense doesn't get to work against the things it's going to see in the fall. So that's a long answer to a short question.
No, that makes a ton of sense. And, I mean, I just think about how you build up, right? You build up to win your conference and then – you build up to win the league now with conference title games, and you build up to go perform in the playoff. And you have to have a defense that can stop offenses you see, and you'll run an offense similar to or something that can give you guys a look to beat who you got to beat, be it in the West or the East or in the college football playoff. And that's what Nebraska did. They geared up to beat Oklahoma and Colorado. Then they geared up to beat the Miamis and Washingtons and the one backs. And I mean, you've seen the evolution of football, coach.
Right.
And what would you start? What type of system would you run right now if you were head coaching again?
That's a good question. I would run the offense that I liked best, and I saw it when right after I got out, Sam Bradford was at Oklahoma.
Air raid.
They were able to get in and out of power football and into the spread stuff with different formations and different personnel groups, but they were so good that defensively you just didn't know what or how to defend them. And they could play with two tight ends, they could play with a fullback, they could play with four receivers, they could get them in and out, and it just it would have to have enough option for me to make you just spend a whole heck of a lot of time defending it. but then different personnel groups where you had to defend a tight end. A lot of spread teams don't even know how to play against a tight end anymore. So I would utilize a tight end. It would be a Gronk kind of guy.
Okay.
If I could find one. He doesn't have to be a great blocker, but he's got to be a big guy that's hard to cover and can give you enough strength at the point of attack on the line of scrimmage to where you can run power football, combination of power football. But I would probably end up doing a lot of it now from the shotgun or at least – the pistol. I think the pistol really gives you a lot of flexibility to run that kind of offense that Bradford was running.
That was Kevin Wilson, wasn't it?
That was not Kevin. I guess Kevin was there then. Yes, he had just gone there, right?
Because Mangino had left for KU, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So yeah, so you had what do you project with him joining forces with Urban?
Well, his offenses at Indiana were really good, and I think it's a good match for Urban. I think they do a lot of the same things.
Sure.
And I don't think it's going to be much change for Urban,
okay.
But it's going to be maybe just another level up because Kevin brings just a little bit of different philosophy to it. But I think it's a great match for the two of them.
A few minutes here, Gary Barnett with us, Hale Varsity Radio, some college football thoughts. Coach, what is your take? A team that Nebraska will see early is Oregon. Coach Taggart is now the head man at Oregon. But Coach Leavitt left Colorado to Oregon. Cristobal's the OC/O-line coach, and he's got a really good history and reputation as an O-line coach. So I look at this Oregon staff and go, wow. I go, wow a lot because of what they got, specifically with what Leavitt did at Colorado. And what's your thoughts here on how quickly Oregon can kind of get back to being Oregon? It'll be different since it's not a Chip Kelly deal, but you've got some proven guys there and a lot of talent there. What do you think about Oregon next year?
Well, first of all, Chris, Sports USA is doing that game this year.
I saw that. Yeah.
I just saw it today. But it's gonna depend upon one of the things that helps the defense, Leavitt, is the fact that this team has already been in a 3-4. They were in a 3-4 last year, and I believe, and so that's going to help him because when Leavitt came into Colorado, he had to go from a 4-3 to a 3-4, and that transition period takes a year to learn it, and so if he doesn't have to go through that transition period, if they already have a lot of the understanding of how the defense works already, that's going to help them. They'll get there a little bit faster. But I don't think that team is built for defense yet, and I think it's going to take a couple of recruiting seasons. Offensively, I'm not sure who's going to come in and quarterback that team. The kid that was there at the end of the year seemed to be pretty adequate. But there still isn't a Heisman Trophy winner at the quarterback spot. They still have a lot of athletes on offense. But I think it's going to be a 2-year deal, and usually when you make a coaching change like this, everybody's excited about the first year, but the second year is the hardest because you're between recruits, you're between your recruits and the recruits that came in for the coach before you. So I think the third year is when they show up. Now they got enough players this year to show up and make a move. I'm not sure. And again, I think it comes down to how quickly that defense can make a transition, because last year they really struggled on defense. And I know, talking to some of the coaches that were there, that there just wasn't a defensive mentality in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to recruit to it. And it just had not been done over the years.
Well, and Leavitt will flip that switch.
Right.
He probably
right.
has already. It's just going to take some time. Northwestern's getting a lot of preseason love here as a West winner. They've played well against Wisconsin, and they have won at Iowa, and they have competed well against Ohio State in the last 3-4 years. I mean, there are a handful of teams that have done it, Michigan State, Northwestern, and that's about it, honestly. Why do you think Northwestern's been so good in Lincoln? I wanted to ask you that question because that's Nebraska's schedule this year. They get most of the big dogs, be it in the West or even the crossover game in Lincoln, aside from the Oregon and Penn State roadie. There's a really good home schedule. Northwestern, though, it hasn't really seemed to phase them. They've won in Lincoln. How's that worked out? I know they've been good, but they've been the tougher team, in my opinion.
You know, there's just some teams that your players get excited about playing, and you seem to have their number. And some of it's hard to explain. The Iowa thing is, it goes back to when we started that in 1992. The Nebraska's, you know, that's a relatively new situation, and so I don't know. I don't know what Fitz has done to make that such an easy place for them to play, or a comfortable place, because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to create a comfort level of playing in that stadium, and I'm not sure exactly, but you tend to play, and you know, you tend to play well in places where there's great respect for the game, and I think that's always been true in Nebraska. And I think, you know, our players were never intimidated going to Nebraska. They were always excited to go to Nebraska because they knew the fan base and the situation 9 times out of 10 was going to be, you know, great hype, great excitement, and a lot of fanfare and a lot of people and just a great Saturday afternoon of college football. So I think that's part of it. It's just you get excited about playing in places like that.
Coach, couple minutes left. Over under from Vegas, 7.5 on Nebraska. What do you think?
Wins?
Yeah, 7.5 wins.
Over.
Regular season. Okay. Okay.
I'm going over.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll run more of these down with you closer to kickoff.
All right.
But I need to know how the ribs, the Barnett ribs, have been going.
Well, they're evolving, and I think I probably made the very best ones I've made in a long time just the last time I did it. And I'm going to keep it a secret, Chris. I'm not telling you.
Dude, no.
See, yeah, I built you up, and now I'm not going to tell you.
We're in an apartment now for a little bit while we're getting our home taken care of. And no rib, no smoker, no grill. So you really are killing me.
Well, you know, you can still make a pretty good rib in that oven. So no, I would say
not as good though. Come on,
well, not if you treat them right, they can be just as good. You got to treat them right now. So
all right, there we go. Just leave me hanging, Coach.
Use your creativity.
Exactly. Gary Barnett with us. Coach, we'll catch up again here during the summer. Thanks for giving us a few minutes today.
You got it, Chris. Talk to you later.
See you. Take care. Bye-bye. There he is, Gary Barnett with us. That isn't fair. Come on. You got to give me the ribs. He does ribs like twice a week on his smoker. We have smoker news coming for you here tomorrow and next week. You'll love. Just a side note, little tease. But man, for him to not tell me how he's the last guy to say I did the ribs perfect, because he's always doing ribs to try and get that perfect rib. We're going to have to talk to Vogel about this because he's a barbecue guy too. All right, good stuff from Gary Barnett, though. Loved the option talk. Enjoyed a ton with him on just the Northwestern side of things and then Oregon. Two big opponents, two coin flip games. Good stuff. Brandon Vogel coming up. A 6-month online subscription yours at HaleVarsity.com. Caller 4, caller 5 right now. A 6-month online subscription for you. The ultimate online fan experience. Message boards, recruiting analysis. And of course, breaking news with Hale Varsity. Caller 4, caller 5 right now. 466-3776. 466-3776. Toll free 1-800-825-5865. Caller 4, caller 5, a 6-month online subscription for you, courtesy of HaleVarsity.com. The ultimate online experience. Be a part of it. Caller 4, caller 5, get in here on the 800 line, 1-800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Caller 4, caller 5, Brandon Vogel. Coming up, more thoughts on the NBA Finals, more college football next with Brandon Vogel. Be caller 4 or 5 right now.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
A lot of fun with Gary Barnett. more fun, and maybe some barbecue secrets with Brandon Vogel. HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, how we shaking? What do you know?
Oh, not a whole lot. Doing pretty well. How are you guys?
Doing well. Thanks for your time. And this has morphed into a offensive preference type day. What do you like seeing? And it's in reference to the Stuart Mandel mailbag that option football, traditional old school option football, is the reason you won championships, one of many reasons you won a championship and had a great era in Nebraska. That said, do you think it could survive today? Coach Barnett didn't think the old school option would work, but a quarterback run zone read type offense can and will. I mean, look at Clemson. If you're starting an offense, what are you picking? You going air raid? You going pro style? Or are you going the zone read side of things?
Oh, I probably actually don't care that much. I'm happy to go with whatever. I'd put more stock in the coach that I'm hiring rather than the offense I wanted. But, I mean, I think particularly at a place like Nebraska, when you look at some sort of spread type offense, it works for a lot of reasons. It's kind of created the pace and space era of football, if you will. But also, I think it gives you a broader talent base that you can choose from. You know, when you're running a pro-style offense, you just got some kind of archetypes that are tough to get away from. So I think it would be hard for me to ignore the spread just in terms of, if you can find those singular athletes, it doesn't matter so much what size they are, but how good they are in space. And I think that's a little bit of an advantage.
Hey, Vogues, in your hot reads today, you compared the CG technology over-unders to the Bovada ones that came out. And you mentioned that Nebraska jumped not just half a game like everybody else, they jumped a game and a half. That's pretty significant, isn't it?
It is. So, you know, there were only about 50 of those released, so they didn't even get through all of the Power 5 teams. But it was about the same. It was almost the exact same complement of teams that CG Technology originally released. And Nebraska was the only one to go up by even a game, much less a game and a half. So when that six came out from CG Technology for Nebraska's over-under total, it, of course, was a big story here. But this was kind of an indication that Bovada, which is a well-trafficked online sportsbook, essentially, didn't quite feel so comfortable with that. So it was certainly a notable jump, because when you started looking at the other ones, a lot of them were the same, maybe a half game difference. So it told me at least a little bit about that six number initially.
Vogue's good article, ESPN.com, Hybrid Defenders, talked at length about, and this is your answer to the spread. This is your answer to the slot receiver that gives you headaches and nightmare matchup problems. And I thought it was just extremely fascinating, specifically Pat Fitzgerald's comments. You can't go too much of a tweener at that hybrid spot, be it a linebacker or a nickel slash rover, because of where you play. You had a chance to look at the article here, too. What were some of your takeaways? And, you know, it got me to thinking about what Nebraska's doing now, just from an athlete and body type standpoint, when you're looking at some of the kids in the 18 class and some of the kids on campus, and I'm talking about Lamar's frame specifically, or even Kalu. I mean, those are some athletes that Nebraska has that can maybe help shore up things defensively. And then, of course, what Nebraska's done the last 7 to 10 years with hybrid guys has been impressive.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, it could spawn an hour-long conversation that would go a number of different ways. There was a lot to think about in there. You know, I too kind of looked at so Minkah Fitzpatrick, great defensive back for Alabama, was one of the key guys in that story. And my first thought there was, well, what's Alabama run? They run a 3-4. And part of the reason you move to that, and Mike Riley said this when he announced Bob Diaco, was it gives you the potential to have a couple more of those guys. When you look at an edge rusher who's maybe between a linebacker and a defensive end, some safety spots kind of lend themselves to that. And then when you get into nickel and dime packages is when you really see it. It also reminded me a lot of 2009, 2010 Nebraska had a lot of success with those sort of hybrid guys, and really had an amazing level of success defensively given where they were playing. Now, it's kind of an interesting test study a little bit. You move to the Big Ten, and that approach didn't necessarily work as well. Now, the first Big Ten Nebraska teams weren't as talented, I don't think, as the 2009-2010 teams were on defense. But if they were, it would have been really interesting to see how that would have unfolded, because then you start talking about style of play, which Fitzgerald mentions a little bit, and he's exactly right. Like, Big Ten is still about stopping the run. You can prove it statistically. It just is. That's what it is. So that's kind of what made me think back to the famed Peso defense, and how that would have looked in the Big Ten if Nebraska had that personnel that they had at the end of the Big 12 era.
Folks, you did a great job the other day, too, with your over and underachievers in college football history. And if people haven't read that, they should go to the Hail Varsity website and check that out. Can you explain to the audience how Alabama is the top underachiever?
Yeah, so as is kind of typical for me, you know, you can create that list just based on your own personal feeling, but I tried to apply some rules to it and use Pythagorean wins, which is one of my favorite tools. And Alabama gets there. I mean, you could certainly argue, and I think I would, that Alabama basically shouldn't lose. And how you get there statistically is just the formula. Like, to have a perfect 1,000 Pythagorean winning percentage at the end of the year, you have to give up no points, which no team is doing. Mm-hmm. But Alabama pounds the teams that it's way better than, and when it does lose, in those rare instances, it loses close, which means your expected wins are always going to be a little bit lower than your actual winning total when you're that good. So really, you know, no one looks at Alabama and weeps for the Tide and their 5 conference titles and 4 national titles. But if anything, it just sort of backs up, I think, how good they've been over this last decade.
Yeah, I mean, that's a statement. They should never lose.
It's going on Twitter is what's happening. Vogues, okay, I wanted to get your thoughts here on a couple of more things before we say goodbye. Let's talk NBA for a split second. And are you amped? Are you excited about the trilogy tonight? And are you leaning one way or the other?
I am excited. You know, having watched a lot of the playoffs, you kind of it quickly became, well, let's just get through this and get to the inevitable finals matchup that we're all waiting for. So for it to finally be here is good. Now, it's probably going to have an impossible standard to hit. As far as a lean, I'd probably go with a safe play and take the Warriors. I just think they're a little bit more well-rounded, but it's always tough to go against the best player in a seven-game series.
Vogues, it's really surprised me, and I don't know if it has for you, but the amount of people who are picking Golden State in 5, and some even in 4, especially after what we saw last year in the finals, does that surprise you how many people are thinking that Golden State could just easily dismantle this Cavs team?
Yeah, it really does. I just think they're, you know, with the way Cleveland has played of late, and the way this is spaced out in terms of games, I think helps you avoid that sort of Game 3 Eastern Conference Finals game you got from LeBron. So that plays in the Cavaliers' favor a little bit in my mind. And I just think both teams kind of, you know, if we're sitting at home thinking, well, this is obviously headed towards Golden State, Cleveland, the players would tell you they weren't thinking that, but I guarantee you that was in the back of their minds. So I think you'll have a pretty tightly contested series. If it went any less than 6, I would be pretty surprised.
I think this thing's going 7. And it's going 7, and I haven't figured out who's getting the 7th game.
You got 20 minutes.
I know. Vogues, I wanted to get your quick take here on quarterback play. To wrap up, we'll end where we began, and that's from an identity question. And I think the single biggest difference maker is who you got at quarterback. That's kind of obvious, but let me just walk with me here for a second. And I think Riley in Langsdorf can bring that type of difference maker in with their system and get Nebraska back to competing and maybe even winning championships. That's the goal. That's their angle. That's their edge, is what they do with the quarterback. So and that's what's won for Clemson. That's what's won for Cam and Bam and Auburn, I should say. That's what's won for Kelly and Mariota. So you've got that quarterback and system fit. Do you think that's if Nebraska does get back, is that the way they do it with the quarterback?
Yeah, probably. I mean, when you look at this type of offense, you probably have a high initial hurdle in terms of quarterbacks you're trying to recruit and find. But if you find that guy and clear that first one, the second hurdle might actually be a little bit lower, because then you have a guy who, caretaker is not the right word, but you don't have to complete 72% of your passes in this offense. 62% might be enough. You know, back to Alabama, the team that shouldn't lose. You've seen it with their quarterback. Now, they're more talented than Nebraska. Well, they're more talented than everybody across the board. But those sorts of things, like, a great quarterback is great, but I think the bar actually comes down a little bit lower if you've got a couple options that you think you can work with. And I think Nebraska definitely has that in the quarterback room now.
Yeah, you flip it around to what Barnett was saying, too, is what type of defense are you getting prepped for the season with? I mean, can they react to what they're going to see, right? And with Diaco and this defensive mindset, I mean, they'll have their own identity that's adaptable to whatever they'll see offensively. So that'll be the other side of that coin, too, that could work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really think, just, you know, based on how quickly defenses can kind of come along, you know, you see defensive coordinators come in and have an immediate impact pretty often, especially for guys that are really good at what they do. I think that's probably the biggest upside immediately for Nebraska, just a little bit ahead for me, of quarterback play, which I also think Nebraska will be pretty good in that regard.
Vogue's 10 seconds, Hail Varsity yearbook. Give me a launch date. Do you have a date?
Almost. It's coming soon. It'll probably be off to the printer here in another week or so.
Whew, that'll be phenomenal. Hail Varsity yearbook, your Bible for college football. It'll be great. Vogue's a lot of fun, man. Thanks for everything and awesome work as always with Hail Varsity, bud.
All right, thanks, guys.
There he is, Brandon Vogel. At Brandon L. Vogel. Some more thoughts, and you'll hear from Curry on the way.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Busy one today, Brandon Vogel, Gary Barnett, Bill Dolman, NBA Finals. Finally here. You'll hear that on many of the Hail Varsity Radio affiliates that are ESPN affiliates tonight, game one. Hallelujah. What does Cleveland do? Interesting from Steph Curry and the perception he has, and that's a question that I've asked that you may have thought of. How tough is he?
I don't know what's in people's minds, how they label me, how they perceive me. I know what I'm about. I know, you know, how I view myself in life and what style of play on the basketball court. And so whether you think I'm soft or you think I'm tough or you think I look like I'm 16 or whatever.
Whatever. He's on the cover of GQ. And Steph does with the beard. He looks a little, I mean, he doesn't get carded anymore for smokes.
No.
But still alcohol, yes. That's something that's there.
I mean, I'd take him on my team any day.
Absolutely, I would. You're a smart basketball guy. You would. I don't worry about his toughness or commitment. I think he was just dinged up last year.
Yeah.
But that's a knock on him. Is it real or imagined?
A little bit of both, just because, I mean, what? He is just 6'1", 6'2". So obviously he can't be like LeBron and guard every single position. So he's limited.
Here's what I don't get. And I know they're two different players.
But he finishes better at the rim than Irving. And Irving is amazing.
You think?
So it, no, the numbers say so.
Okay. You had facts?
Yep.
Are you throwing facts?
I don't have them pulled up right in front of me, but they're both amazing.
That's the thing. And that's what I'm interested in seeing here is, and you look at a guy like Iverson, who was a volume guy, but no one questioned his toughness.
Oh, no.
But you look at Steph, and his efficiency is like three times what Iverson's was.
Yeah. Yeah, that really is interesting.
Different player.
Yeah.
But yet, you look at his efficiency, how many times he gets jacked and pulled and tackled. Well, he's soft.
Yeah.
I don't think he's soft. He's just...
I think that's what you have to do for anybody, right? The Jordan rules. They had to make him physical for Pistons.
Yeah.
Make him uncomfortable, grab him,
hold
him, do anything.
It's a good book. The thing about Curry, too, is how unselfish he is. I mean, he's just kind of a positive guy. I do really like Curry. I like his game.
Mm-hmm.
I like the there's no heat check range. I like Clay a lot. I like this Warriors team. I like Curry. And then don't kid yourself. There's a lot of Phil Jackson influence to it with it because of that defensive mindset and the second three-peat with Chicago. So the other part of this storyline is redemption song and Golden State, what they're trying to rewrite.
We had a pretty good idea that it was going to be Cleveland. And for us to get back on top, I would say it would be a good feeling to redeem ourselves from last year and knowing that's going to be against Cleveland, it's going to be tough.
The motivation they have, the expectation they carry, they went out and shopped and got a Mercedes in KD. And then there's Cleveland, the joy of winning it, the way they won it, delivering a title to a city that hadn't had anything since the Jim Brown era. They've had opportunities, don't need to go through all those. But now you get to defend it and cement whether you're 4-4 in the finals or 3-5.
Yeah, and they were able to add a little help along the way with trading for Kyle Korver and getting Darren Williams on the buyout, so those aren't two
and
scrubs.
I like both those. No, they're being, you got Williams is the former third-team All-NBA guy. What do you think with this series here? Do you think it goes 7?
So, obviously, the last segment we'll make our predictions, but I've been leaning 6 or 7 a certain way.
Don't you expect response from each team if they fall short?
I would think so. With the amount of talent.
I think Cleveland does have to take tonight if they want to win the series. I mean, that's obvious, but they got to flip.
Yeah.
They got to flip it back home court.
Although I think going back to LeBron's pass in the finals, him winning game one, they don't necessarily win the series. So, but that's just one game, obviously. It's, man, I'm leaning 6 or 7. There's been a lot of talk lately that they're just going to dismantle them, that they're just going to easily discharge these Cavaliers, like they're going to win in 4 or 5.
They are.
I know they're ultra talented, and the Cavs D can be very terrible. I mean, it was the worst.
Golden State's defense is awesome, but they've not seen a dude like Irving because he's the best there is in the league at getting his own shot.
Yeah, but after the All-Star break, the Cavs had the worst D in the league. Like you
they
saw,
were bored.
You saw it in the first
they
round.
They didn't give a damn. They were bored. They had a little fun. I'm not saying they threw things, but they just didn't care. They were bored.
Well, but you saw in the first round against the Pacers. The Pacers were scoring at will. The Raptors didn't
they
see it that
it
much,
they,
but the Raptors missed a ton
so
of open shots.
So do you doubt
shots.
They can turn it on, or do you doubt the focus? I mean, they got some space cadets on their team. I'll give you that.
So with LeBron, anything is possible. Because he's just that good.
Thank you, KD.
You mean KG? But it's going to be tough to flip that switch when you're playing the best offense in the league, man. You're playing Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. Like, that's a whole other animal.
They're also taking on the best defense in the league in Golden State.
Yeah, it's a whole different animal than the Celtics without Isaiah Thomas. Like, I mean, that is going to be quite the jump.
Well, Kevin Durant on that P word, pressure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to be the best me I can be. That's the only pressure I worry about. If I don't play up to my standards, then that's when I'll get upset. And, you know, I have bad games, but it's just a matter of me just trying to be the best me I can be. Go out there and work extremely hard on my game and try to showcase it.
That sounds pretty well scripted, but I think he's serious about it. He can't make this about him and make this moment too overwhelming. He's got to look at it as another opportunity to get a ring. He made the move. You know, he stepped back. Jackie McMullen did a great long form on KD today on ESPN.com. And when he had his foot injury and he had to miss the year, he stepped back, as he puts it, out of his basketball bubble. where basketball is his whole life. It's not the case anymore. It's still super important, but he's had to figure out other things he likes. He's had to broaden out a bit because he's been injured, and he was freaking out, obviously, when they thought it was a tibia injury this year. But he's learned to just maybe mellow a bit with the self-pressure. We'll see if that follows through. Look, it's house money with you've got four dudes that can go off, and they can go off all at once.
And I would say Golden State's bench is better than Cavaliers' bench.
Oh, so why are we even talking about if this thing's going to go seven or not?
That's why a lot of people are saying it's going to be four or five.
Shouldn't on paper say this thing's done in four?
It's because the best player in the series is on the other team.
Yeah, but they're also as maybe the second best or third best. I don't know. I mean, I think Kyrie's up there.
I would put Durant as the second best player in the series. And then I would go either Irving or Curry for that three spot.
Yeah, I mean, Curry, though. Who's guarding Kyrie tonight? Clay?
Most likely Clay.
And you're asking him to shoot better than 37%?
It's a lot to ask.
Yeah? Payday. That's why you get that check. We'll wind down a Thursday, get you ready for the finals. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
How concerned are you about Steve Kerr's absence? And does T. Lou have another year of magic in him? I think that's one huge reason Nebraska folks are going to catch up and interested in the finals. It's not that you love the NBA, but one of your own's trying for another ring.
Oh, for sure.
And a monster knockout shot to kind of cement what he's up. He's another Phil Jackson guy.
And obviously you'd rather have Steve Kerr than Mike Brown, but Mike Brown getting fired twice by the Cavs, that first time kind of by LeBron a little bit, you know? It's just like, he's going to want to get a little payback, I think.
No, just kind of a nutty day. We spent time talking about style and what's your poison, right? I mean, offensively, what do you go with? And it all stems back to what makes you unique. And I'm thinking, in a basketball sense right now, what's stunningly unique about each team is you had an unstoppable dude that's fast and giant and is a great defender and a phenomenal offensive scorer, plus he can get other guys involved in LeBron. And then you have probably top 1 to 2 percentile sharpshooters that can get free and just drain from anywhere. And it's more than you just scored trying to get to the rim, which is your strength. And man, it's just, it's a clash of styles, but it's going to be fun. I hope it's fun. I hope it's not, you turn it on, I'm like, son of a gun. Self-edit there. It's 20.
Yeah, man, I hope not. So, hope we get an instant classic here. All right, prediction time, man. What are you thinking?
I'm going to go with Cleveland in seven. I'm going to go Cleveland in seven. Why? A, everyone's going against Cleveland. B, I just think LeBron, and I think the group that they've got is pretty good. When push comes to shove, and you've got some dogs over there with Golden State, I don't know that you've got one alpha that can will their way in Golden State up against a guy like Cleveland and LeBron. So give me the guy that's done it before, that's taken every arrow, that is really laser focused in on this time of year, how well he's played, and what's on that tombstone. He's aware of it. He's dealt with it. He's dealt with it his whole life, but he's dealt with it and he lived up to it last year. He wants more icing on that cake. That's where I'm at.
I'm going 7 as well, but I'm going with Golden State. I think LeBron performs phenomenally. He still kills it. But the Cavs D is going to rear their ugly head again against this offense. And Kevin Durant is greater than Harrison Barnes. Simple as that. You're replacing right there. So I'm going Golden State in 7.
Okay. What are we betting?
I don't know. Do we have to? Can we just enjoy it?
Wow.
I haven't thought about that yet.
There's got to be something other than, hey, TJ picked the Warriors to win it. Hey.
I like hearing people's predictions.
You're good. Steak and a beer.
All right.
Done. All right. Back to you tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity.